Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew and the 15th chapter. If you would stand for the reading of the Word, I'm going to read this entire story, this passage here, from verses 21 through 28, and we'll call today's message, The Faith of a Mother. Matthew 15, verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she's crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her, Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through your word, to the glory of Jesus Christ, speak. And give us those ears, like Jesus said, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Let us hear for our good and your glory. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. And you may be seated. Have you ever been praying for something? I mean, really praying. Not just saying prayers, but praying prayers. Fervently, consistently. You know, you're not giving up. Not just a Mickey Mouse prayer. Yeah. Not just, you know, one here, one there. You're really praying for something. It really matters to you, and you're praying constantly for something or someone, and that prayer doesn't seem like it's ever going to get answered. Now, maybe you were praying for the salvation of a loved one. So you kept on praying, and then finally, perhaps after many years, that prayer finally was answered. You've been praying for their salvation, and then they got saved. Has anybody known anything like that? Amen. How did that feel? What a joy. What a relief. Hallelujah. There's many stories in this sanctuary right now that I can point to of that very thing. And that's what testimonies are all about. God's saving acts continue to this day. But let me ask you, are you in that kind of situation now? Where you've been praying, but there is no answer. Our text today is a testimony to the power of faith. It's Jesus who has the power to heal, and he's the one who decides when to heal or save or deliver or whatever. But our faith reaches out to Jesus, and he responds to it. Amen. Now let's read these verses one by one and go through them and see some things here. And Jesus went away, verse 21 again, from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Jesus had been in Jewish territory. If you read chapters 14 and 15 and 16, you'll see that he's doing these incredible acts, trying to show himself to the Jews as the Messiah, and he walks on water to show that he's more than a prophet, and he feeds the 5,000 in their territory, and now he comes to the Gentile territory and shows not only does he meet the needs of Israel, but he meets the needs of a Gentile where he feeds 4,000. And this is in the middle of that. And he's controlling the timing. By going into the Gentile country, he is avoiding this conflagration that was happening where the Jews were going to take him and crucify him. So he was controlling the timing of things. He'd been doing many miracles, and as you know, lots and thousands of people were following him. But he didn't want people to make him an earthly king. And so he said things like, don't tell anybody what you've seen and heard. Or he would withdraw by himself, or like here, going in about 35, 40 miles north into Gentile country so he could turn his attention to the Gentiles. And again, he had been showing the Jewish leaders that he was indeed the Messiah, but he was being severely challenged, and it was ramping up, and it would get worse and worse, as we've talked about before. These religious leaders didn't want to give up their power. But here amongst the Gentiles, he met a woman who was convinced he was the Messiah. And she wasn't going to give up until he demonstrated his power. Now let's look at verse 22. Are you with me? Say amen. And behold, a Canaanite, very important woman, from the region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And we know God was orchestrating this. When you look at the Bible and you look at the narratives, you can see redemption history unfolding here. And God was showing something about the Canaanites who were cursed and the Israelites who were blessed, and how salvation was for all people. So, knowing that she was a Canaanite, this was opening old wounds between the Jewish people and those who opposed them. The disciples needed to see it. The people that were following needed to see it. This isn't just the Jewish Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. And he was going to do it. That's why he had the great, you know, the Good Samaritan and things like that. So here is this opposition. The crowd is already going nuts about this. What are you doing in this place? Who are you talking to? By the way, this is a woman. They were not highly regarded back in those days. And here she is causing a ruckus, but she used a term reserved for the Messiah. There it is in the text, Son of David. She was identifying that she believed in the one true God. What's this? Someone who isn't a Jew? Who's a heathen? Calling on this man Jesus as the Messiah? What if the worst person in this county, I could name some names, and they come barreling through here looking for mercy from God, and I'm sure some of us would be like, well, what are they doing here? Here's Jesus and all his people, and what's she doing here? How can she say Son of David? Some of them didn't even believe that he was the Messiah, that he was Son of David, and yet here's this one, a heathen who had been in touch with heaven. God the Father was demonstrating through God the Son that salvation is for all people. This woman was desperate for her daughter. And so she cried out for mercy from the visiting Jewish king. She knew who Jesus was. She knew he had the power. So she went from her home as a woman through this crowd, got up there, started yelling and screaming, basically. And what happened? Look at verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she's crying out after us. Imagine this. Think about this right now. Jesus comes to town. You believe that you know who Jesus is. You believe that he wants you to come to him. You trust that he has the power to answer your prayers. You've seen and heard him answering others. So you have faith and you come to him, but then you're met with silence. You know that he hears you. You know he must be doing something, but you don't know what it is. Nothing seems to be happening. Has this ever been this way in your life? Is it that way now? What do you do? You're going to keep crying out until you get an answer? Is this silence the only answer that you're going to get? Does God want your situation to wait or to get worse? Be honest. Have you known the silence of God? Yes. You cry out in desperation, but there is no answer. Are you willing to persevere? Or will you just give up on Jesus? Again, I know people. I am an under-shepherd of the Lord. Hopefully I'm a true shepherd, and I know your stories, and I know that this is true, and you know some of it about me as well, and you think, I don't know what's going to happen. I keep asking and asking. I don't see another way. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but if you don't tell me anything, and then it gets worse. Bring yourself into this situation. The people who are closest to him want him to get away from you. You ever been to church, but it seems like church people don't want you to be there? Praise God, that's not this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you are a church person, but maybe there's still times when you feel like you're not wanted there. Like everybody, it seems like suspicious. You're thinking, it must be me. Maybe the devil's messing with me. Whatever it may be, you don't seem to fit. And you go from place to place to place, and it doesn't seem like there's anywhere. Maybe some days you just can't get motivated to go to church. You wonder, is this all worth it? And you know, Jesus is worth it. But do I really need to make the effort to go to church when I don't feel like I'm being helped? Right? Some days you think, I'm getting something out of it. And you go to Happy Clappy and all that, and you're getting something out of it. You like the music and all that, and he builds you up and all that just in your own sin, and then nothing really changes. And you're like, okay, well, that was good for a couple of years. Friends, what you win them with is what you win them to. Right? And this story says things that a lot of the faith crowd won't say, and they'll turn it into, this will never happen if you have enough faith. That's not the lesson of this story. What do I do? I'm pressing in. I'm trying to worship, doing the best I can, and it doesn't seem like God is doing anything. It seems like God's people are not good with me. Well, what did this woman do? Because she cried out to Jesus, and he just stayed quiet. And then it got worse with that resistance, that personal resistance. Don't take it personally. It is personal. A personal resistance to your person and your personal needs. How do you think that made her feel? Now, the truth is, if we're going to be honest, it looks like maybe the disciples were just trying to get Jesus to deliver her right then. Deliver his daughter right then and get this over with because she was causing a fuss. Send her away, you know. Go ahead, Dad. Give her what she wants. She's causing a ruckus. Maybe that's what was going on. But still. The point is that sometimes others who may even mean well can get your eyes off Jesus. Don't do it. Don't let the roar of the crowd drown out the cries of your heart. And she wasn't going to do it. She had a strong faith. Maybe you're crying out for your children. Maybe they're adult children. Maybe they're senior citizen adult children. Or your spouse, or your child, or loved ones. And yet people act like it's just your problem. Don't involve us. They don't go to church here. What are you talking to us about? Right? They know where we are on Sunday. Right? And maybe you've made mistakes. And maybe somehow people remind you of your mistakes. Maybe you can't come on Mother's Day because it the way it makes you feel. Or you can't come on the day that they passed away because of how it makes you feel. Doesn't this woman have all sorts of things that would remind her counterintuitively in the sense of, you don't need to be around this. This just makes you feel bad. I've got news for you. Oh, boy. Sometimes church is supposed to make you feel bad. So you can feel like what real good is. Right? I don't want surface level good and really bad, deep bad. I want what Paul says, this light and momentary affliction. That's Paul. Getting chased by people, getting stoned and left for dead. People in the churches didn't like him. Who's this guy? He's always sick. He's always in jail. Right? So here he is. And she is, and she knows, I need to get this. I know this is the right guy, but everybody else is saying, yeah, he's the right guy, but not for you. So what am I telling you? What is going on? What does she do? Keep your eyes on Jesus and have mercy on them as you seek mercy from God. Maybe they'll come around. Maybe that's what they need to see out of you so that they'll come around. We don't let go, right? Yeah, I'm looking right at you. We don't let go. And then we rejoice. We look at each other every time we see each other. It's like, yeah. It took forever, but here we are. For real. Yeah. But that's the end of the story. But we got to feel how bad this was so we know how good it is. So here we go to verse 24. He answered. Here, Jesus finally speaks. I was sent only to the lost house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, my. So Jesus finally says something. And that seems to make it worse. Silence from Jesus is one thing. Resistance from the disciples is another. But Jesus telling you that he didn't come for you? Doesn't that seem like the end of the matter? Oh, there's mercy, there's grace, there's redemption for others. But you are just stuck with it. Oh, my. Imagine Jesus saying this to you. Imagine knowing him like you do now and hearing that. You're going to someone that can fix your clothes. I'm making this up as I go along. And they're the super clothes fixer. And you get there, they say, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, thank you. Yeah, but I'm not doing your clothes. Everybody else is leaving going, yay, my clothes, or whatever. Right? There was a cure for some disease, and everybody was healed but you. And the person said, I didn't come for you. What are you doing? Why would I help anyone like you? Have you ever felt that way? She didn't even know Jesus. She had an idea. She saw this, and yet he says this. But that didn't stop the woman, did it? And Jesus really wasn't saying that Gentiles were not included in salvation. After all, he was among the Gentiles right then. Now, his mission was primarily to Israel. Matthew 10:6. But he would venture into Gentile territory to show that they were included, not excluded, but included in salvation. And then after he died, others would carry on the work. By the way, this is the greater works that he's talking about in John 14:12. Not, you know, greater than raising the dead. You can't get greater than that. But the fact that the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The greater works is you and me in America. Or over there, across the pond, as we say. Wherever it is, that's what it is. This was the beginning of that. And the mission of the Gentiles would be to go to the entire world. Now let's look at verse 25. Are you with me? But she came, didn't stop her. And she knelt before him. She had to fight to get there, I'm telling you. Because they were already trying to get rid of her. Saying, Lord, help me. Part of that help right at the moment, me get everybody off of me. But she meant for her daughter. She was interceding. Intercession. We have these terms we use. Prayer warriors. This is it. So this woman didn't give up on God. She had to make her way from her home through the crowd as a woman around the Jewish disciples to the Jewish Messiah. And she cried out, causing a stir. But then Jesus was silent. He didn't answer. Then his disciples were frustrated by her, and then Jesus seemed to be dismissive of her, but she kept on going. Now she gets down to her knees and she worshiped him. So what happened next? Verse 26. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yeah. You catch that? By the way, Paul turns this on its head in Philippians 3:2. He says, beware the dogs. Which is basically saying the rabbinical writings are dog food. Just in case you want to know. But here's Jesus. And he says this. In that moment, think of all this woman had gone through, how desperate she was for her daughter to be delivered. First, Jesus wouldn't even answer. Then his disciples tried to get him to act, and he tells them it isn't his business. And then she gets all the way down to him and begs and worships, yet he seems to insult her. One obstacle after another. No one else could help. No one else wanted to help. But the one person who she knew could help wouldn't. He seems to answer her pleas with, why should I help someone like you? Have you ever felt like that? Like Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with you? Like even when you worship, you're still not wanted. Now the truth is that Jesus wasn't actually insulting her. He was drawing out her faith, reminding her, oh, really? But you're a Canaanite. The historic distinction between the cursed Canaanites. That's the ones when they went through the Red Sea and they went into Joshua and they went into the land, had to take over and all that. Those were the Canaanites, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. And they said, no way. But Israel overcame that, didn't they? So here's the cursed Canaanites and the blessed Israelites. Now they have a Messiah. Now they have a healer. And how dare this woman. Didn't even bring her kid with. Well, you know, we'll get there. And now he seems to insult her. Jesus didn't think of her as a dog, friends. He was referring to the fact that the Jews thought of the Gentiles as dogs. The conversation has to be understood in its historical setting to capture fully what Jesus is doing here. He's not playing games with this woman. He didn't go all the way to the region just to avoid her. He knew she would come. He was doing it. He was drawing her to himself as a demonstration of what God does and how far he will go and how far he'll draw out your faith. And you'll have faith in it's just this bottom line thing that you can't get rid of. Yeah, that's because God put it there. Everybody else is saying, oh, go home. And you see Jesus and you say, I am home. The crisis between Jesus and the Jews was escalating. It was intensifying. And Jesus is making it clear that the grace of God will be given to all who believe. Even though his mission was to present himself to Israel as the son of David, there were other people that knew and would know. Now look at verse 27. There's only 28 verses, amen. You'll get to lunch on time, and you should be eating it now. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Wow, the insolence of this woman, huh? Wow, the courage. But think about it. She'd gone all this way and heard all this already. What's she got to lose now? Right? What do you got to lose now? A few hours of sleep? A few tears? You've been doing it for all these years. Don't stop now. So Jesus basically said, you seem to know that I'm the king of the Jews. Why are you coming to me? The king of the Jews, not the king of the Jews. And she said, because I seek you as Lord. The woman's answer is wonderful. She accepts her role as a dog in relation to Israel. She knew that the Messiah comes to Israel first. She had humility with a passionate hunger. She didn't have resentment. She had no anger about her situation. She only knew that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah who came to heal people, and for some reason he was in her town. So she sought mercy from him. And then finally, verse 28. Then Jesus answered her. This is great emotion. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you, for you, as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So Jesus responded with great emotion after seeing this whole display. Her faith was rewarded, her daughter was delivered from the demon, and she became one of the early Gentiles to enter the kingdom. And notice that in this account, her daughter wasn't even there. This mother had faith that Jesus could reach her daughter no matter how far away she was or how bad her situation was. Can I say that again? This mother, or could I say, do you have faith that Jesus could reach her daughter no matter how far away she was or how bad her situation was, how long it had been, how far they were down? Take a lesson from this woman. Learn the lesson Jesus is trying to teach you about reaching him. Whether it comes to mercy for your physical needs or grace for your spiritual needs or when you're praying for someone else's needs, this is what you need to bring to Jesus: a humble, patient, persistent, and worshipful faith. Mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, friend, loved one, it doesn't matter how far down, how far that person you've been praying for has gone down the wrong path or how long it has been, Jesus can reach them. This mother had a fighting faith. She had to fight complacency. Why go through all this trouble? There's going to be all these people there. I'm not even going to get close. She had to fight doubts. Why would Jesus want to help me? She had to fight the crowd. She had to fight to be heard and then have to deal with Jesus' seeming indifference. And listening to Jesus tell his disciples she wasn't worth the trouble. Then getting on her knees and Jesus still not seeming to want to help her. But she never gave up the good fight of faith. Why? Because Jesus was drawing her. This woman didn't get upset that her people were compared to dogs. She didn't resent the Jews for seemingly being more blessed. Must be nice. I can't stand those words. Be grateful for them and be patient with God and realize you own the universe. Just wait for it. She persisted. If Jesus wasn't going to do things the way that she thought they ought to be done or needed to go, she was going to persist until she found out what he would do by being diligent. Hebrews 11:6, you know the verse. One must believe that Jesus, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Friends, this is the picture of diligent. This woman knew that faith was obediently seeking for the master, despite this rejection of a request from the master himself. Life application. I should have a little button. We're not ready to handle every blessing God has for us until we're ready to wrestle in prayer and rest in God at the same time. Let me say it in other words, to persistently seek God's blessing and also patiently trust God's providence. You're not complacent, you're content. You're going for it. Amen. Whatever God gives you to do, do it with all your might. Amen. You want to see that person saved, man, stay on your knees. Get up and raise your hands. Do it in the middle of Walmart. Someone asks you, why, are you crazy? No, help me pray for my daughter. You never know what that might do for them later. Persistently seek God's blessing and also patiently trust God's providence. Stay hungry and get fed. Keep asking God until he at least gives you the scraps. She had come to Jesus, but it was actually Jesus who had come to her. The Lord was going to this area, to this woman, and he's coming to you. He draws you to him and continues to draw you closer, even through and especially through tough times. When it's all dark and God's light shines through, that how great is that light? He wants you to draw near. And it may take some effort, but it's going to be worth it. And you know what it takes? It's humility, patience, persistence, and worship. She said, I'll take the scraps if they come from your table. She gives us a lesson for those who we intercede for. She was willing to take whatever Jesus was willing to give. She says, I'll take the scraps. Christ went into Gentile territory and did this miracle for a Gentile woman who had a greater faith than those Jews who were rejecting Jesus. He wanted her to express her faith in spite of whatever racial tensions there were. Think about that. She knew that he was the Lord. He was the Messiah, and she asked for mercy, and he delivered her daughter. Now, Jesus' ministry may have focused on Israel first, but that was part of the program. He extended mercy to all who would believe in him. You see that same thing in the Old Testament. As they went in to Canaan, there was Joshua and there was who? Rahab, the harlot. Right? And that cord, scarlet thread. We see a picture of Jesus there and how he redeems. Now Jesus knocks down the walls with his word. So what about us? We're supposed to take the message of Jesus to the world. If there's resistance and refusal, we continue to pray for them. But we turn to people who want it, whom the Spirit of God has prepared to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. So let me ask you, has Jesus drawn you to salvation? You're resisting. You're thinking, I don't know, this, that, and you're thinking, all these other people, the Jesus freak. Yes, amen, hallelujah. Will you be a story of redemption or a story of rejection? You're not here by accident. Easy to say that, I get it. But I can't draw you. I can manipulate you and say, stick up your hand, I see that hand. I'm not mad at that. I'm just saying, if Jesus is drawing you, look what happens. Look what happens. If you know this is about your salvation, you're not going to let anybody, and they're saying, it won't matter to you. It'll be blah, 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 blah. I'm looking at Jesus. And if you're praying for someone's salvation, same way. But if Jesus is drawing you, reach out and receive eternal life. and if you are saved. Jesus is your Savior. What's he doing for you? He's calling you to share him, bring him to your world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the outermost parts of the earth, and now all across the world. And this is why we do missions. This is why we talk to people in this church, outside of this church, in our community, in our world. Because Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And on the cross, Jesus was taking your place. He that knew no sin became the sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he lived your life, so he could treat you as if you lived his. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this example of faith. We know that even when our faith is weak, yours is non-existent. You don't have to have faith. You have all power. You have all knowledge. You have all ability. And you can bring us all to you. Lord, our job is to bring you to people that they might hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And having done that, Lord, to count on you to turn on the light. Just like a creation, when you said, let there be light, you say now into our hearts, let there be light so that we can see Jesus Christ. And so now I pray for all those in this building, all those that hear me online, all those that would listen to this later, and they're praying for their loved ones, that you would show some movement in their life. And they keep praying fervently and consistently as who you are, whether whatever you do. And we do this and praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.